This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
You've seen what's been going on in the city of Flint, Michigan. I'm glad that we're getting the attention that we finally deserve to have, but if you've been keeping up with what's going on, this is something that in April will have gone on for 2 years now, that we haven't had clean, affordable water in the city of Flint. Our kids have been damaged by this lead poisoning that's been going on, and what we've been doing is asking the governor, the state, to be accountable.
It's the mayor of Flint, Michigan, Karen Weaver, at a press conference on Wednesday in Washington, D.C., where she traveled this week to meet with President Obama and administration officials and was attending the U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting.
This is something that nobody should have to deal with. Everybody should have clean water. You know, it's ironic when you live in the Great Lakes State and we don't have access to clean water. So this is something that it continues to be a disaster for us because we don't know at which point we will be able to drink the water.
A crisis with no end, says Mayor Weaver. It is this open-ended uncertainty that causes people in Flint, Michigan, to compare this water contamination with the long-term destruction of New Orleans from Hurricane Katrina. Except in Flint, the hurricane of lead poisoning arrived in 2014 and was invisible, dismissed by authorities and ignored by the media. Mayor Weaver was still a private citizen when she heard the first reports of questionable water. She was one of the few to take action.
Well, when I heard they were switching to the Flint River, I wasn't drinking the water.
Okay.
You know, that was just something. I made a conscious decision. All the way back when I heard, I thought it was a bad decision.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped immediately. I just didn't do it, and neither did my husband. And, you know, it's sad that I would say, thank God my kids are grown and not there, but everybody can't say that, and we shouldn't have to say that.
Mayor Weaver got elected to deal with the water crisis, and now she has a real ally in Lansing, Governor Snyder, who vowed this week to aggressively begin a cleanup and an investigation.
I want him to give us the services and the money and the funds that we need to address the population. If, you know, like I said, there's an investigation going on. I'm letting that investigation play out. I'm sure it's going to be more than the governor's name. You know, there's going to be a lot of people. And one of the things they talked about is you're going to see responsibility across the board. So we're waiting for that. We're waiting to see who knew what when. And then we'll go from there. But I've really, people have said how they want things handled with him. I'm staying focused on what I need to get from him right now.
But can Flint do anything on its own with all of its financial problems and a decimated tax base? Mayor Weaver says she and the people of Flint can make a lot of noise.
The question was, what are you going to do differently when you still have this setup? You're still in receivership. But one of the things I said that I would do and what I have been doing is speaking up and speaking out and being a voice for the people. Even if they say, we're not going to let her do that, I let them know that's what I'm going to tell them.
But Flint spent more than a year in the shadows, even though its water was poisoning small children. Does the mayor think a Michigan suburb like Bloomfield Hills or Grosse Pointe would ever have to go through that?
No, I don't. And they're not under emergency manager. We were. We were, so we didn't have a voice. And that act has not helped very well, especially in cities that are minority poor.
Thanks to our own Todd Zwillick for connecting with Mayor Weaver at the U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting in Washington, D.C. In this show, we're rethinking politics, life, business, and leadership in light of the Michigan water crisis. Will the name of Flint, a proud but beleaguered Rust Belt city, become another name for industrial runoff? Residents and business owners continue to cope with the impact of the poisonous water and the added stigma of being in a city once revered for its auto industry growth, now decried for harming its citizens. Let's hear from Ron Sims. He's owner of the more than 50-year-old Torch Bar and Grill in downtown Flint.
A lot of questions about how we're dealing with the situation downtown. We've had a few phone calls asking if we have bottled water. We use a filter. We put a filter in last fall. So most people, once we talk to them about that on the phone or in person, they come in and they seem to, once we explain the filter to them, to be pretty comfortable eating at the restaurant.
And when did you notice that there was a problem and that really there was going to be some impact on your business?
Well, when this all first started back in 14, you know, I heard there was reports of some neighborhoods that had discolored water, odors from the water, stuff like that. Where we were at downtown, I never noticed that. We never had an issue with that downtown. I started getting concerned last year when there were reports of elevated lead levels in the children in town.
Did you get your water tested? Did you begin to map where you were in the system and what kind of corrosion you might have been facing?
We did not get it tested. We just went ahead and got the process in and putting a filter in regardless of what the water was down there, just to be on the safe side.
So there are contractors in Flint who are working like 24/7.
I have talked to a few that there are working pretty heavily right now doing that. Yes.
And what did they tell you? They said for this amount of money, we can, here's what we can do. And, you know, what kind of filtering do you have?
Right now, a lot of them are handing out water and installing just the on faucet filters for free, donating their time and some of the stuff around town. We spent some money on a whole building filter just to make sure that everything in our building was covered.
How much is that?
Ours was about $1,800 installed. They had to do some extra plumbing work to get it in, so it was a little bit more than probably most would have to spend.
So, you know, there's all this talk about the crisis being ignored and the health effects being really dismissed by political figures and the people who, you know, apologized. You got the governor and then, of course, the Department of Environmental Quality head who resigned at the end of last year. But from a business person's perspective, it's almost a sort of double whammy that this blows up after so many months. And now, you know, you've maybe taken care of the problem, but you're going to have questions for 10 years about people coming into your business, right?
Exactly. It's like we have probably even had less information directed towards the business community than the general population has. I don't think I've ever got anything saying what we should or any guidance at all from the health department. So yeah, we're kind of behind the, we were behind the curve, this whole crisis. So it's been frustrating to say the least.
And here you are, one of the businesses in downtown trying to, you know, come back as Flint has been trying to do for, you know, 30 years now. What does this do to the, you know, the solidarity of the businesses who are trying to deal just with the economic downturn?
Well, you know, so far they're pretty optimistic between the new restaurants and other bars downtown and the new residents downtown. They're cautiously optimistic at this point after Tuesday. So we'll see going forward. They're going to have to have some pretty big actions going on from local and state government to like allay some of their fears. But right now it's cautiously optimistic after governor's speech on Tuesday night. So like you said, we're going to be living this for 5-10 years down the road.
What made you feel good about what the governor said? And tell me about your conversations with some of your business colleagues.
Well, I don't know if I really felt good about it. It was nice to hear that he finally acknowledged that there's some mistakes made over the last year and a half or two. One of the other business people I talked to recently, they've been, I think, hit harder than we have because they're more of an upscale and people just have a different perception of this, the establishment than they had of ours. One reaction was the very cautiously optimistic that he took some responsibility for what happened in Flint and that hopefully we can get this addressed sooner rather than later. Another comment that I heard when we were sitting there watching it was, no matter what they said, they're still trying to beat the downtown further down. So it was a pretty big mix of responses to his speech Tuesday night.
It's interesting that the upscale restaurant is hit harder. I suppose people expect to be drinking poison when they come into a bar, right? I mean, that's sort of the idea. But that could have an impact on medical facilities and all kinds of, you know, clinics, that sort of thing. It just, you can't imagine anybody who's not had an impact here.
Well, that's just it. Every business, bar, restaurant, hotel, school has been impacted by it and will be down the road.
You know, when Michael Moore came to town, you know, there was some positive there, but he certainly ended up turning Flint into a kind of a joke to some people. And I'm wondering if this has the potential of, you know, the same old here we go again feeling. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. It does have that potential. But what I tell people, especially people coming like visit their kids at school or coming home to visit family, it's like this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this isn't just possible in Flint. We, you know, a lot of communities, especially in the Midwest, have old crumbling infrastructure. If you're not paying attention, this is going to happen in your community. It does have the potential to be a joke, as was Michael Moore's film. But I think people need to realize that it goes beyond that. And if they don't wake up to the fact that it needs to be done, they're going to have the same problem we're having right now.
Are you opening today, Ron?
Oh, yes, I'll be open.
All right. And what's the special for lunch?
Today, we're known for our burgers. We don't run a lot of specials. The top selling is a bacon burger with deluxe and olives.
Ron Sims, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ron Sims is the owner of the more than 50-year-old Torch Bar and Grill in downtown Flint, in Buckham Alley between West 1st and West 2nd Street. Tell us a story of other communities in America that have slipped below the horizon.
This is Whitney from Willits, California. And of course, some communities are neglected. It all stems from the higher-ups and the people that determine where the money goes or the way that situations are handled.
This is Jason from Trumbull. I lived in Bridgeport, Connecticut for 6 years. Every snowstorm, you immediately knew where the Fairfield-Bridgeport border was because their roads were plowed and ours weren't. Still happens today.
Crown Point, Indiana. I grew up in Gary, and I remember one year we had a particularly hard winter with a lot of snow. The mayor held a press conference and said that the city didn't have the money for snow removal. I remember his exact quote. He said, "God put the snow here, and God will have to take it away." I don't remember our street being plowed, but eventually the snow did go away.
Hey, this is Steve from Detroit. I've heard gunshots out in the distance. I've seen piles of mattresses sitting there on the curb for weeks. I've seen packs of dogs running through the streets like wolves. I've seen backyards full of old tires.
My name is Brian, and I live in Madison, Mississippi. Resources for all improvements are generally based on ad valorem taxes, property taxes. This is the very definition of separate and unequal. Infrastructure improvements, potable water supply, access to Wi-Fi and the Internet for all people is vital for civilization today.
A different view from Royal Oak, Michigan. I work for a local government, and our administration and elected officials are very proactive about addressing problems. I also live in the community, so I believe that we tackle problems head on and don't let little issues become quality of life level catastrophes. It's a good place to be and to work. We always want to hear from you. Tell us a story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Much more at thetakeaway.org later this hour. In the nearly 5 years since the Syria crisis began, 4.5 million refugees have left that country, but fewer than 2,700 have landed in the United States. What's the story there? Governors, including Michigan's Rick Snyder, have refused to take any of them. Meanwhile, millions of refugees are in limbo across the Middle East and the world.
These people are stuck in what was bureaucracy, essentially bureaucratic hurdles. After Paris, those bureaucratic hurdles have been exponentially increased by the political fight happening in the United States.
One family struggled to leave Syria and reunite in the United States later this hour on The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.